Education work session. Today is Tuesday, September 9th, 2025, and the time is 5:30. James, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
And Mrs. Williams.
Here. Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I will turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for discussion items.
All right, well, good evening, everybody. And the first thing we have is a strategic plan. So a couple things here. Scott, who came in and did the work with us, got recruited by a local school district out there by an old friend. The staff's no longer with us.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, good thing for him. Kind of hurt for us. So I actually called him after. Worried about, okay, she needs more help. And so he still took my call, so that was helpful there. The person that we're working with, her name is Susan, and so she has been a part of the work. Big man, her, she would have been with us tonight, but her daughter just had a baby, and so they are adjusting to the assistance there.
Who is the other guy looking?
He was more of a technical person.
That's all right.
Yep. So what we asked out of Hannah was to provide us some notes and things. And so what we did is we went through the document. What we want to do is walk down through each section, talk through it. You're going to see strikeouts in there. You're going to see bolded items. Those are things that might have come from, and we'll talk through, like, it came from a different area. And if we could, first and foremost, we want to talk about the aims. And so an aim, and listening to Hannover, what the point of their aim was, it is more of a more refined focus of the strategy. And so, but what they did say is that some schools have aims, some schools don't put them in there, because an aim is just a point where it's towards the goal, so it's more refined. And that's all that it is to be. And so I think our conversation here is, does our Board of Education want to have an aim? Because if you look at top priority one, for example, to provide high quality instruction for every student to ensure college, career, and life readiness. So that is the priority. And then you have the goals, strategies, and KPIs. And like I said, the aim comes with refining. So I'm kind of leaving that up for a conversation right here. And so, thoughts. I know that was a big part of our conversation here a few weeks ago.
The priority one, the aim is really just kind of a generic verbiage of what's in the goal. So I'm not sure it adds value.
Yeah.
You know what's in the goals.
Yeah. So like I said, having an aim is not crucial. Okay. The second column, the goal, that's vital. Okay. The KPI and the strategies, those are vital. How to achieve that goal. And
one of the things I looked at is, as I was thinking about, you know, the conversations we had in the original, and I'm like, okay, what is the strategic plan? What are the main tenets of each one of these?
Yeah.
And so I looked at the first two, A and B, were focused on education students.
Yep.
Then we start getting into teacher, we start getting into community and culture. We start getting into more of your, I'm going to say, SEL, PBIS, and then culture and teacher. And so my when I did all that and I looked down at it, there were only two that literally focused on student education. The rest were, let's teach our teachers, let's help our teachers, let's get involved in the community. So for me, when I looked at that, I'm like, I would think that maybe there would be at minimum half and half.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what stuck out to me, and it was kind of, when I looked at it, that's what I saw.
Yeah. And that's where I know we're all divided up into different groups. And so I was in that fourth group. I know you guys were
in the first group. I was in the education group, so.
And so each, and that's why I think when Scott did the, we had 2 days with him, we did the breakout, the points where they stated like the priority areas. That's just what they came up with.
when you look at priority one, provide a high quality instruction.
Yep.
So are we just saying, okay, what is the aim, so forgive the anger, of getting to a high quality instruction? Is it saying that our instruction has met a level, or is it saying that our students are able to learn with the instruction for which we sat? And I find that it's doing two different things almost. So maybe someone else remembers and knows what the answer to that is, but those are the thoughts I have.
So, by the way, anyone can speak, okay? It doesn't have to be just, of course, but the right high-quality instruction, we think, and I've thought about that a little bit, is that we're all, our goal at the institution is to provide high-quality instruction for all students. That's the goal. And so they can have the opportunity for college and life readiness. Now, underneath there, you know, the goal is it's academics, you know, student achievement. And then we dive into, in order to have the student achievement, have the high quality, then we have to increase teachers' ability and skills there.
You can say, I have the best training in the world, and the training I put together was the best instruction you're going to get on learning how to do A.
Sure.
But if nobody is able to learn how to do A in a grand way, then I don't care how great my program or my instruction is, the outcome does not match what I believe that is.
But so what I'm hearing is that, like, we, and what I think we do, and I know we haven't started touching the goals yet, but the goals are directly related to, like, we can say we have high quality instruction, but if it does not translate into student achievement, better student achievement, then who really cares? I feel like that's what I'm hearing, and I agree with that. So that's why, like, provide high quality instruction, yes, but we are setting goals directly correlated to student achievement to put us at an upward trend to county levels, state levels, and surpass them.
I'm just wondering if there should be, some of these goals should be evaluating those curriculums that are being implemented, that so that there are outcomes that are looked at as real time. And I know we talked about that many times. So when you look at the aims and you look at the goals, it just makes me wonder, should there be more of that in here and focus on that as
and,
part of the
and that's getting into that is that was that. So that we actually took that from 1A, another section, brought it up. But what you're getting into, and this is where I really appreciate you saying in our last meeting around, like, the goals are, you know, what you guys look at, the strategies and KPIs is how we're going to, you know, that's for you administrators to get there. That's honestly review of curriculum, review of these materials is part of what we have to do. So that's, you know, you use your, for example, that our math on, you know, materials now is, are we maximizing everything we're looking at the math system we have?
So you don't think that should be part of?
That's part of our strategies. That's a strength. That's not a goal there. Those would be strategies that we will.
Okay.
If you think about it, like, as from the administrative side, saying, all right, the board says these are Andy to the Monroe Public Schools. Those are, if you look at that first page, those are the academic goals that we want to see. Now, administration, your job is to take your strategy, KPIs, show us how you're meeting those goals, right there. And that's why the strategies for year one might be right here. Well, there'll be other strategies to add for year two, because some of these will have done, things that come about, it changes. So, so when we look at
the engagement program evaluation, the engagement program.
Yep,
I didn't read the bold print.
That's right there.
I didn't get the copy, right?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. No, but that's why we're going to work through this. So when we look at, we want to provide, so in your packet, you're going to see this document right here, okay? And that's in there for you, and it's right underneath workshop, a couple pages back. Because we want to talk about, I know there's a lot of conversation around 5%, 10%, what's that growth rate that we want to see with iReady, with MSTEP, with SAT, PSAT, and then what is that, also that decrease in the tier 3 that we want to see percentage-wise, okay? And so That's where I know we're going to need to spend a moment here and talk through that part. So I'm just opening up the floor for that.
Maybe kind of Andrew wants to give me an idea of what I'm looking at here.
It was actually
sure.
David.
Sure. David, sorry, David.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
When
so,
you were asking him all the questions.
No, I remember that later after you asked me 10. I'll wink or something.
Right.
So what you're looking at in front of you is we need to figure out a way to, I guess, picture this, these metrics on a dashboard for the district for the public to see. These are what the public sees. So we took our I'm gonna pull one out so I can speak to it. I was kind of hyper focused on the
I've got David has this up on the screen. He's gonna keep notes, and when we make a change or something, he's gonna put it up there so we have it.
So what we're seeing is we say we want an increase in 5% every year when it comes to student proficiency in K-8 reading or iReady reading. The same goal, 5% for iReady math. The same goal for all of the reading MSTEP tests, 3 through 7. All of the math MSTEP tests. And the reason why, so I'm relating this to Brian's golf game. The more golf Brian plays doesn't mean he gets better, because improvement in golf isn't linear. It's the same thing with learning. So we know students are, their performance is going to fluctuate. But an easy way for us to look at this to see if we are providing high-quality instruction in the area of reading is if our iReady scores, 3 through 8, are increasing 5% every year. Some might be 10. Some might be 3. There might be, like, we might be able to cover up, like there was an area where we're calculating these averages where we know we dropped in an area. Like, that's something that we are definitely going to look at. But we increased in another area, let's say in the social studies test. So that average provides a 30,000-foot overview for our public to see of how we're doing as a district. Does that mean that's where we stop? Like, we know the questions that we're going to get in here from board members, specific buildings. We dive even deeper into subgroups and demographics at the building level and classroom level, looking at the effectiveness of teachers. Do they need more support? So this is just this is our proposal for a 30,000 foot view of what our public sees on our dashboard. How are we doing from year to year with, you know, using the specific grade level tests that we have?
And so if you take, looking at that.
That's this big.
It is this big.
Yep.
Because iReady
yep.
needs to be defined as a growth factor, not at equivalent to the grade that they're at. And that we've had this conversation many, many times.
Do we have the conversation though in here when Andrea is?
Uh-huh.
That's where we have the conversation,
yeah.
Not blasting the bat signal out that our fifth grade rate is whatever. We.
So wait a minute. So you're suggesting? Tell me what you just suggested.
Sure. We are suggesting a 30,000 foot view of how our academics are improving, we hope, or declining.
You know, it's public information.
Sure, anyone can look it up.
Right.
But here's the thing. So when you look at it, going back to the big conversation around 5%, 10%.
It's not.
But your iReady is proficiency.
Yeah, but I could be in fifth grade, but my iReady is working at a third grade level.
No. What you see is if I'm in fifth grade and I score proficient, I'm scoring proficient in fifth grade.
I think you're also thinking about iReady instructional preparation activities compared to the iReady assessment. Every fifth grader receives the same iReady fifth grade assessment.
And it's based on fifth grade level.
And it's based on fifth grade content expectations, and that's what this data is.
Yes.
This data is not the leveled, interactive, responsive lessons that students progress through based on needs. This is straight cut assessment.
Where you get into it, now, if you go to the page where it just shows the two right here, that's where we're reducing the tier 3. So now, here is where, again, I'm assessed at the fifth grade level, and I might still only been functioning at a third grade level, but I've moved to a fourth grade level. So I've moved, or I've moved out. So the idea is it's reducing, trying to reduce the tier three level. And so, for example, you can see on this right here, in the 24 year, 32% of our kids were in tier three for reading, 34% for math. At the end of 25 last year, 26% were in tier three, and 29% in tier three for math, so reading math. So that is moving kids out of the tier three, and so they moved into that tier two.
So I'm not sure why we're having this whole conversation, because what we're focusing on right now, the goals are focused on MSTEP scores.
Some of them, yes.
So if we're looking at MSTEP scores, they are separate from iReady scores. They're two completely different assessments. So if someone says, oh, what did you score on something, there's a factual number assigned to that.
That's on the paper.
So it's on the paper. If you go there, you're going to see next page, the other page there.
This
you have iReady at the top, and then goes to MSTEP. So Monroe Public Schools, 3rd through 7th grade, 25% of our kids are proficient in the 25 last.
So I think I didn't know we were going through this tonight. We're not going through.
This is strictly relative to the debate over 5% or 10%.
Okay.
All of this is relating to. We're showing that.
Nice
try. No, we're showing how when it comes to again, we have to have. We have to be able to have a system to show how we're moving this here. And the system is it's taking kindergarten through eighth grade, iReady, reading, and you can see there's cross top, math, iReady. And so that's our system of taking all those proficiency percentages, adding them up, do the division problem, and getting that.
So they're separate. So you're suggesting iReady and MSTEP.
No, we're not.
We had this conversation and we're actually talking about that.
We're not. We're talking about, we're showing, because iReady, it's not just MSTEP. We test iReady, but we're using computerized tests. I think that's the key, that these are computerized tests right here.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yes.
Let's interject a little bit. So it appears that the iReady scores are always leading and the MSTEP's lag, right? So if we're going to make the iReady goal the same as the SAT, PSAT, the SAT, the MSTEP, I feel like you might have to tweak the iReady goal separately than the MSTEP goal because it lags. So if we say we want to increase the iReady by 10%, maybe it's more realistic we get the MSTEP 5%. Does that seem reasonable? Because you're lumping them all together.
We have iReady in this before, didn't we?
Yes, it is.
So all this paper is showing is how if the board did approve the strategic plan with these goals for AIM 1A, this is how progress would look going back to 2023.
I think
that it is a skewed vision of what is being the outcome. Because when you get to where we're at with proficiency levels and we say, hey, we're increasing, which is why I'd rather not have this conversation right now because I do not have my notes in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the MSTEP scores this time, that's not what was the outcome.
But
and
they
so
did increase it, Marilyn.
You're saying that the MSTEP scores overall increased.
That's what this says.
Yeah.
I see that's what that says. I'm talking about what the data said.
I think this is based on the data.
This is. Right. The difference is they didn't increase by 5%.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's the point, is that your MSTEP score, it's still disclosing that in math, Monroe Public Schools math, 3rd through 7th grade, 17.7% of our population is proficient in math. That's what that says. Right, wrong, and different. That is the number when you take it there. Now, displaying each grade level, you're we just took and said, okay, because this is a, we're looking at from the district level. Now, at the building level, they drill it down to grade levels. But here, this is the district saying, MSTEP, that is our number. ELA, that's our number. When it came to SAT 11, SAT 11 went from 32.7% to 38.3%, so it grew 5.6%.
That was,
okay.
I really just like to go over this when we set to go over this.
I know, but the conversation...
Going over it now, saying this is...
That's not the point. The point is,
we were
going to make a decision.
I get it.
That's it.
I get it. Let's have that
that's
discussion.
It.
Right.
Okay.
That's
so,
all it is.
And I think you have to separate MSTEP, or I'm sorry, iReady out of the SAT MSTEP.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You cannot say we're going to combine the data and give one answer.
Yeah.
I agree.
But we are not. All of these tests are in their own bar. So when we say, like, I mean, we don't say MPS has a literacy or a proficient reading score of blank. Like, it's K-8 iReady. And then it's 3-7 MSTEP, and then 8-10 PSAT ELA, and SAT ELA.
What would you like me to say?
I think what I heard you said is that we're lumping all these things together. We are lumping grade levels of light tests together. We are not mix matching MSTEP, PSAT, iReady. We're not doing that.
So just going back to when I say clarify what you're asking me to say, because an iReady score is an iReady score, and then an MSTEP score is an MSTEP score. So if the MSTEP score is 25 and the iReady score is, you know, 28, those are the separate scores. That's just the truth. And that's what I was suggesting is that's just the truth. So, but I don't think that they correlate to an equal match on what we're talking about on this assessment. Right.
No.
But that's what we need to clarify right now. That's this whole point of this conversation is.
I don't think that's
yes.
What
5 or 10%, right? Know what you said?
We're just saying that.
What's that 5% down here?
And yes. Do we want to keep it at 5%? And then would you ask Andy?
So
like three times?
Demographic. So what we're asking for is that in ELA that demographic groups of PSAT, SAT, MSTEP, and iReady move by 5% each year. So what we're looking at is that, okay, did we move by 5% in ELA this year? No, we in iReady we had 4%. In MSTEP, we had 1.9%. In PSAT 810, we had 3.4%. SAT ELA 11, we had 5.6. So we had one out of all of them that we had the 5% growth. That's all we're saying.
Right.
So, and
but if you check the box that said we hit that goal,
we didn't hit that goal.
So the way it's written,
mm-hmm.
That is a unit. And so usually, like in a thing, it's either all it's true. That means everything is true or something's false. So my thing becomes, if you miss the mark on one thing, then that means you didn't meet your goal on everything the way it's written. Because it's all lumped together. So if you didn't eat MSTEP, you didn't eat the goal. If you didn't eat iReady, you didn't eat the goal.
Yeah.
It didn't matter which one you didn't eat.
I think it's about what you're trying to use the goals for.
We're trying to be measurable goals.
And that your goals.
Yes.
Right.
That create growth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we know that, once again, iReady seems to be up here, and when we take the MSTEP, it seems to be down here. So I'm trying to create a system.
Yeah.
So Brian,
the language needs to be we to hit the goal, not you, because this has nothing. These are separate. The strategic plan is separate from the superintendent's goals.
I'm not talking about that.
Right. But when Darla was saying is you didn't hit the goal. You
the system. The people that
right.
are the people,
all of us.
Yeah.
All of
it's yeah. yeah. It's whether the whoever didn't hit the goal. Yeah.
So when they, to Brian's point, when we asked them about growth, they said you want to look at your trend data.
Okay.
So we know what our trend data has said over the past 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
And I think that we've hit the bottom and we are bouncing back. So if our trend data, and I'm going to do it so you all can see like this way, right? If our trend data is year after year after year going
yeah.
a decline, which is what we have, our growth can't be right away. Our goal needs to resemble what our trend data says. So let's say that we are a ascending district and we're sitting at 50%. And over the past 5 years, we've gone up from 25% to 50%. We want to continue to set maybe 5%, 6%, because that's what our trend data says. Right now, if we were to set a goal what our trend data says, it's not 5%.
No.
It's like 0.5%. So onesies, right?
Yeah.
So
I've gone through the data, and you're right. If I look at the last three, let's say, data points for MSTEP, we're on an upward trend, either flat or on a little bit of an upward trend, but it's not 5%.
No.
And it's going to bounce around because you have to look at a linear line,
It's like our golf game, right? It's not.
Stop talking about my golf.
I said
you've
hours.
Never seen, you called me out the first time.
All right, fair enough.
You've never seen me play.
So the point is, yes, at the end of the day, either we will have had 5% growth and like an ELA in all those areas, it was just 5% in all of them, or we didn't. We're just using those items as those tests as indicators. That's all it is.
We don't see any value in separating them out. We think they all should be working together.
I think they should.
They're,
I think I-Ready should be separate from the tests. I do. I think their percentages.
On the dashboard.
I think their percentages should be.
On the dashboard, that's what they're going to. That's what they are separated out.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't apart.
I thought we were working on this.
But this is the whole thing is we have to show the public
how
we're doing
to
meet that goal. So we're going to publish this that shows if we move or not.
So goal 1A1.
Hold on, let me stop for a second. Why would we not publish to the public that we if we move or not?
So here's where we're at. Okay. We haven't even sat down as a group, as a board, and look at any of the data. That we have not scheduled that meeting yet. That mesquite meeting has not happened.
But typically, in
that meeting is when we break down and we say where are we at. Everybody brings what they see to the table, and we sit down and we say, okay, where do we see ourselves and where do we want to go? So that's what I see is let's have that meeting. If you want to keep this at 5%, I don't think we have to sit here and say, hey, this is what we're putting out, because we have to put the M stuff out. We're required to
do. But this is also publishing. How do we, in a 23-24 year, how do we move your read? Wow, our district only moved 1%. But in the 24-25 year, we moved 4%. Now the 25-26 year, that number will be whatever.
Can
that
we have
is.
That conversation when we have
but
to schedule that meeting. So I understand.
Whole,
we don't need
to
put this data out right now.
Is
that what you're suggesting?
No, that's not it. I'm saying that as a board, you have to settle on that the metrics are right. That the way we set it up, you are in agreement that, yes, taking I-Ready, K-8, adding it up, dividing it to get to that percentage is how we want you to do it. Or tell us a different way. Because when I first started, it wasn't done that way. And I was trying to figure out, when we were talking about the prior strategic plan, how did they come up with the numbers? Mm-hmm. Couldn't figure it out. I'm saying, I don't want to live in that zone. I want to make sure that how we do it, you're in agreement that says, for I-Ready, Andy, yes, we agree, add them up, divide it. In MSTEP, add them up, divide it. In PSAP, add them up and divide it. Mm-hmm. Or if you're not, that's what we need to hear from you, is how you want. We are.
Let's do it
like,
at that meeting.
But that's not, that's a student data meeting.
We've
got
to have a strategic plan in place.
Here's my thing. And when I sat down here today, were we told that this was going to be part of it?
So I'm going to just say this. Are you thinking that we're not providing this correct
data?
That's
right here.
What?
That's the KPIs. Look. We got to have numbers.
I like to be prepared before I walk into a meeting. So when there's something that's being discussed, I had an opportunity to go through it, had an opportunity to process, and I had an opportunity to look at it in the way that I look at stuff. And then when I come in here, you all say, hey, this is how we look at it, and then we can come somewhere. But to walk in and say, okay, this is what we came up with, this is what we're going to do, we need you to all agree, and in order to move our strategic plan, this is the way we're going to look at things from now on. And like you said, this is not the way things have looked before.
That's not what he said. He said that we're still going to look at those grade levels. We're going to still look at those classrooms and those teachers and everything
else
and those individual students.
Yeah.
But this is what the public is going to see based on the IRA.
Overall.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess then that would give you a motion. We have to vote on it then.
So no.
I'm just trying to understand.
We have
voted
on the strategic plan.
One tiny piece of our strategic plan.
I got it.
And you say that we, how old is the past strategic plan? How long was that time? I'm saying in general, there's not immediacy to the strategic plan. It's better to get it right than to talk about immediacy.
I agree.
I'm just going out there.
And that's what we're trying to work through right here.
Yes, I agree.
For this first component,
our priority is probably the biggest, most important.
But I don't want, when we finish, though, and I'm going to get right back to you, David, is that when it comes to the data that gets provided to show the KPI, all we're doing, and if you want to double check the math, is we took iReady scores, spring, added them up, divided it, and that's how we got the percentage. That's all we did. MSTEP, same thing. That's all we did. Now, if you want a different metric, a different way to look at it, that's what we need to know.
And this isn't something that Andy cooked up or I cooked up. Like, this came out of the committee work over those 2 days. Mm-hmm. So what Andy had me do, and I am prepared to type anywhere in this goal column, is if we don't like these goals, what are some suggestions?
Yeah.
But that does come at the cost of detracting from what was done in the boardroom. So if we...
The committee work, yeah.
Committee work.
My opinion, I think the goals are good. It's what the committee came up with. I think the only decision, in my opinion, that this group needs to make, do we stay with 5% across the board? There's something different for iReady than MSTEP. I mean... It's a living document, too. If we next year we see things changing one way or another, then it gets updated. But at least we need to get somewhere as a starting point. So we have targets.
What's your heartburn in change? I'm just trying to
understand. So my only thought pattern was when I look at it earlier, and go, and by the way, this is an example. Okay, because when it starts, it's using the 25 as the baseline, okay? We had to do that again. So if we go back a year ago, we barely touched, just touching 1% growth, okay?
Yeah.
So that's why we said this is just 5% down the line because, 2 years ago, we barely caught one. Over here last year, we had two of them that we had above 5%, okay? So that's why
I think we're talking about two different things as far as forecasting and goals, right? So forecasting, we have a forecasting meeting. We're looking at trend data that you talked about, and we're getting very actual and literal with what we're saying. A goal setting situation is a little different. A goal is like something you're going to stretch a little bit. It's saying, okay, I know what the forecasting is, but we're willing to say, hey, I think I can tweak it 3%, I can tweak whatever numbers. That's where we struggle with maybe the verbiage with forecasting versus goals.
And so we can look at that is thinking over that 5-year period, okay, in year 25-26 year, because we can look back at these 5 years and say that if you want to break it down further, is that based on what you're trying to see is like, okay, we want to stretch it, so we want to see our iReady back to going to the dark green. That was one of the comments, I've used that conversation that we had that last meeting with you is, the dark, we want to see it move. So we want to see the 25-26 year, iReady be at 5%, 27 in the next following year. We're going to increase it to 6, 7, 8, 9. And so that way that was moving it. MSTEP, if you're looking at MSTEP going, okay, what is it? Still stretching, but also being realistic.
Right. I think forecasting and goals, they shouldn't be that far apart. But I'm saying forecasting is a little different than goal setting.
The goal should always be a little bit ahead of the forecast.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And so that would be a way we can handle this. The other being, especially knowing that this year, we're this year, we've seen the ELA is really moving. The math side, this is the second year with math, next, next September, we're full implementation of the literacy work. And so in that sense right there, would that be a way that you could say, okay, well, let's stretch iReady, Hemstep, and if we're, and even again, if we're hitting the 5% on, if we look at Hemstep, it's starting to shift.
Can we live with a range? Can we say 3% is what we feel like probably, 2-3% is probably the number we're going to hit. We're not going to go, like you said, but we say that 5% is where we might stretch ourselves a little bit, and do we look at it that way? There's more of a range. There's nothing limiting us.
It's interesting because when Andrea talks about that with iReady, we talk about the stretch goal we have. What's the first goal?
Typical growth.
So we could have, we don't want to call it typical.
No.
We want to call it, come up with something else right there. But then we have that stretch of what we're truly trying to be. Could be an option for you as a board. Yeah.
So, so did you suggest that the 5% be less than 5% on goals? I'm just trying to see if we're getting anywhere on the goal.
No. I did not say, the goal I still see is 5%. I'm saying that the growth is probably closer to 2-3%. And 5% is where we're trying to get to.
I see what you're
saying.
So
on the goal,
yep.
I'm trying to stay focused on
yep.
the goal
mm-hmm.
here.
Yep.
On the goal, do we want to keep everything all in one grouping? I think is where we were at on this. Do we want it grouped all together, or do we want iReady mm-hmm. separated out from MSteps and work on it? That was the question.
That was a question.
So.
But we're making progress.
I'm agreeing with your question. Does it matter if they are, because Hanover had us mash things together that made sense.
To them.
Saying if it's 5%, well then we want to have 1A1 is 5% for all of these things. 1A2 is 5% for all of these things for math. 1A3 is 5% for science proficiency. 1A4 is social studies. So, that's how they suggested they write them. While I see five goals under one, I see a whole bunch of, check marks that are possible. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I see 10 check marks for student achievement.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead, Darryl. I'm sorry.
As Mary, you clarified earlier, there's two components of iReady, and sometimes I do pronounce you, that there is the what you're working on and then the assessment. In an iReady assessment, is there any assistance provided to students while they're taking those assessments, or are they, and I truly don't remember, or are they tested as an MSTEP where they're completely, you do your work?
Can I answer that?
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
They will do their work, but just like the MSTEP, the student has an IEP that but otherwise, yes, they are in the same conditions as taking the assistance of the teachers. The only accommodations would be for an IEP or
because I thought the questions could be read to them or something. What test do you guys, what's the thing you guys said that they'll ask, they'll read to them?
Are there universal accommodations for some?
If that's an accommodation for them, that can be turned on.
Well, if
it has to be in the IEP for it to be turned on in a diagnostic. If they're on their BiPAP, which is that personalized instruction, there are options for them to do that.
But that's
not
do it on my iReady assessment.
The reading test, and I'm leaning on my Ohio thing, my Ohio pass, but if it is a reading test, it's not going to have. There might be read aloud instructions, but that student is on their own to read the passage that will help them answer the questions.
Thank you for probably answering that question three times now that I've asked it.
So we could still have four, you know, if you look right on this, sorry. So we have, you know, I know there's five right here, okay? Mm-hmm. So we could still go with four. You have MSTEP, Group, ELA, Math, Science, Social Studies, 5%. iReady, ELA, Math, PSAT, ELA, Math, SAT, ELA, Math. My ask would be that PSAT, SAT, MSTEP are 5%. iReady for this net for 26 is 5. 27, 6, 8, 7, 29, 8, 30 is 9. Oh. I'm just saying the growth. Mm-hmm. You can't really figure out. You got to talk about that because our.
Like you said, up to 2030.
Yes.
So we're setting this out 5 years. I thought.
Yes.
I thought.
You're setting stretch goals that you're saying that our iReady data, we might say our iReady scores in the 25, 26 school year grow by 5%. In the 27, 28 year, we're going to see them grow by 6.
Increasing
1% or you can be more aggressive, or you go back to, like you were talking about, like,
we're more comfortable
with the range, and, but our stretch goal is always an iReady is 10%. Okay? I don't care what number y'all come up with there. With
so,
it. So,
so, would it, is this what you're saying? So, group all reading, math, social studies, and MSTEP, and those as one, and the second one, everything is iReady. And then do, between now and 2030, those categories have increased so that there are only two goals, an iReady goal and a state assessment goal. Is that what I was listening to you say? You want them to have separated out?
I thought Mary needs to jump up. I'm not
going to have Mary.
No. So tell me if I'm wrong. So what Andy proposed is that iReady is going to be one. The MSTEP is going to be another. PSAT is going to be one. SAT is going to be one. And then within those bands, within those assessments, it'll be divided into ELA math. The other counted
loss.
Yeah.
But isn't it just
but
still
10? It'll still be the same number of strands that we have in the goals already instead of lumping it together by grade levels, we're lumping it together by assessment, right? So it would be the iReady, the PSAT, the SAT, the MSTEP. And then the discussion that Andy was having and that Brian shared was that the MSTEP, PSAT, SAT would be a 5% growth per year because the discussion has been achievement on those has been lower historically. It lags behind, typically behind the iReady. And then the one that we're kind of discussing on the table now is what would the iReady percentage look like. So what Andy proposed was 5%, then a 6% growth, and then a 7% growth, and then 8%, so on. Or Brian suggested that there's a range instead, like an acceptable range.
Yeah, I think we need to set a floor and a stretch. Because if not, we're basically just kind of setting up a number to say, and we do this often at my company. We decided it's going to be 10% this year. Hey, we're giving the information. There's no way we're going to get to 10%. But we can't go in front of the shareholders and say anything less than 10%. Or they'll lose their mind. Okay, so everybody agreed on 10%. That's not realistic, but we all agreed on 10%. I'm trying to give you a little more realistic opportunity where everybody walks away and says, I feel good. We got to where we thought with the forecast. Maybe we got closer to the goal. Maybe we didn't move very close to the goal, but then there's a little bit of
So with iReady, what I wrote down just as an example, it's 5 to 7%. Yeah, we really believe that that's the range we should be living
okay.
at, 5 to 7%.
Okay.
If we can hit 10, that'd be a wonderful
Absolutely.
Because we're starting to see some of this shift, right? Especially if that tier 3,
mm-hmm.
as a tier 3, it continues to decrease the rate is. Mm-hmm. Now, when listening to you talk, and that's why I said, okay, well, then just separate it out so that this first bullet right here is MSTEP.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have PSAT, then you're going to have SAT, then you're going to have iReady, okay? They're broken out. They have their own percentage increase. How we show people, it's still, this is the format, so you still see, okay, did we hit that or did you, so
yeah, that format, would be that
way there.
I'm fine with the format.
So then we still do it. And then
one person, I'm fine with
it. Yeah.
Because as long as those numbers, as long as the numbers are there's fidelity with the numbers,
yeah,
then that's fine.
The other part we did, though, is because this related to student achievement, down there in the bold, it talks about by the end of each school year, the number of students performing one or more grade levels below expectation on iReady reading and math will decrease by 5%. So we moved that into the 1A category because that was
part of the iReady.
Well, it's part of student achievement. We want to move student achievement.
Right.
Okay, and so that 1A is all student achievement focused. And so that is specific to decreasing, and if you want to look at it here.
Picking up the trailing students.
Yep.
So when we look at the red, yellow, and green.
Yes, ma'am.
The green are proficiency.
Yes.
Proficient, highly proficient.
Yep.
The other ones do not use the words proficiency within them, correct?
Right.
Approaching proficiency, I believe, is yellow.
I thought it was approaching. So they all are using the word proficiency in it, because if you're going to use a proficiency in a goal, then all of your categories have to use the word proficiency in order for it to apply. And
well,
that was my thing. I didn't know whether, I couldn't remember whether yellow and red had proficiency.
But I think that's where the whole idea around
otherwise
your,
you're talking
your,
about your brain.
Your aim, the whole idea around aims may not even sit there. So that aim category, cover that up. It may not, from the conversations, aim may not even be there. So we're talking about the academic goal. Number one, 1A is all about academics.
Yeah.
Okay, so we want to see proficiency increase. We want to see the red in tier three decrease, because we know that tier three is decreasing. That means they're moving towards tier one, and tier one is where we want to live.
So when you talk about the public and what you want to go out and how a strategic plan plays out in the public, the one thing that people do is not the real. They're not going to get into the nuts and bolts of things, most people. They're going to say, what's the aim? I'm not sure they're even going to really care about the goal. What is the aim? I'm going to increase the proficiency level. A lot of people are going to say, well, good, I agree with that. Some people say, how much? Let's look at the goal. So that's the only thing I say about the
well,
aim
we still have
is that you
either
want to keep a common talking point go out that is consistent. It either has to be defined somewhere. My thought.
I think most people are going to stop right at priority.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
They're going to live in the priority range in the public.
Yeah.
They're not going to dig into, they don't expect that I need to dig into goals and all of them.
Yeah, I don't think that, but maybe the aim. I would think people would maybe buzz through that.
Maybe a few. But I think I'm saying the priority is like the lead on the story. If it's a newspaper story, the lead is priority. Provide high quality advice for every student to ensure college, career, and life readiness. I think that's what people want. I think it's what people expect. Is when my student graduates from Monroe Public Schools that they are going to be ready for whatever the best life readiness is for them. That may be college for some. That may be career vote tech for some. It can be any of those things. Because I know as a parent, the only thing I care about with Allison right now, and she's going to nursing school, is she wanted for her to be a nurse. Did Monroe help her achieve that goal? Yeah.
I think that
there's
a vast range of people and how they look at stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We know that
absolutely
people do look at the least amount of what they need to look at.
Yes.
Which we all agree, no one's going to probably read the goals and all of that good stuff. So if you believe that things aren't necessary, that, hey, high-quality instruction is it, that's a priority, and leave it at that, I mean, that's a decision people make. I'm just giving you what I thought. That how are we going to, like, again, high quality instruction, if not high quality learning. There's two different things.
Yeah. I think,
you know, if I'm going to provide high quality learning, then I might be,
the reason the aim is even having a conversation is in the prior meeting we had was the thought around what the aim had to be. And you'd share that aim has to be measurable. The aim, the goal is measurable. The aim is what we're focusing on. And
yeah.
So.
But can they, well, they, are they seeking from an objective standpoint? Are they seeking for a subjective? And that was very obvious in all of those. You know, we're looking at subjective information, we're looking at objective. And the aim is what set the direction on what you were going to do and focus on whether it's objective or subjective. How are you going to get them?
Okay. So it's going to travel back in time and be part of the discussion, but I was not.
Well, that was at our last board meeting.
Well, I'm talking about when you guys set these, when you sat down with me over here in groups to walk through this stuff.
Yeah. So,
I guess we need to make a decision here on how to format this priority one.
Yes, please.
It sounds like most people want to separate it all out. I think it's just way too much to separate it all out. It should be grouped in two groups, but that's up to you. I think if you're going to do SAT, you do SAT. You're going to do this. You do it. I think breaking down each one of those by category.
I like the flexibility that gives us for setting goals as we look at how to achieve those up.
So, why don't we rewind back to what Mary said and just go to what Mary said?
Yeah. So, what this would read right here. This is how this would read. M-STEP proficiency will increase in math, ELA, science, and social studies by 5% annually. Down here, next would be the SAT math ELA will increase. The next one down would be SAT will do the same for those subject matters, and then also for that next one.
But I thought it was then the mode of the room was that you wanted them broke out by each category because that's what you have on here.
This is by itself.
Yeah.
M-STEP. Okay, the 5%. So you can look at it. Go okay. When it comes to that, and it has its 5% down at the bottom. I already is going to have its range of 5 to 7.
English, math, science.
Well, they already are broken up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are you
going to
include it?
Wait a second. I didn't want to lose the range for the no.
Oh,
I still like the idea of a range for. I think you're going to keep it consistent.
Yeah.
So
I guess
a range.
I think I know the question. I know the question. Are you asking that there be a different percentage increase in M-STEP ELA than M-STEP math?
What I heard in the explanation that I thought Mary had said was when she got done, you said, and then under each of those, we will have reading, like math, and social studies. And I went, oh my, it's your page stuff. That's my thought was. This is super long. And it's super long.
Yellow is what it would look like for M-STEP, but instead of the 5%, Brian is suggesting that we do a reading.
So you are going to group each one of those, yeah. Or each one will still be great.
It's still
more.
Yeah,
yeah,
like, yeah.
Yeah.
The
math you see,
the
3%
is more. Whatever we do, I want to make sure that if there are 7 different people sitting on this board a few years from now, they can think up and know exactly what.
And that's why when I was talking about this page right here, and even this page right here, is that how did we come up with right here for the 23 or 40%? How did we come up with 24, 41%? And how did we come up with 45%? How we did that is we took spring, okay, the May testing, add up kindergarten, first, second, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, ELA, and divided it by, is that 9? So we added up at least 9, divided by 9, they got that percentage. But that percentage of proficient students at Monroe Public Schools last May in ELA IREG. That's how, and so there's not, my point to that all is, there's nothing magical behind how we generate a number. I think that's the thing, though, when I remember in those meetings when I first started, of how did we come up with these numbers, percentages, right? That's how we come up with it. So that's why I'm asking you guys, is there a different way you want us to calculate that?
That's probably the easiest way.
We don't have any statisticians going through here.
No.
From a statistical standpoint, it's probably
the easiest. We're going to see, if you're going to compare M-STEP and I-READY, you always have to be mindful.
We're not comparing anything. There is no comparison. We're just showing that
So if we're going to score M-STEP and I-READY on here, because it sounded like they were going to be scored separately, we need to remember that in iReady, there's K1 and 2 that are included in there, but for MSTEP, there isn't.
That's right.
Yeah, that's all
I'm
on here.
Yes. As long as we're aware that that's what it is.
Yep. Right. Yeah. And so that, but this way then, as a district, we show how did our kindergarten through eighth graders, you know, what do they look like? Well, okay, back in 23, we were at 40%. Well, we're at 45 this year. Our goal is 5 to 7% growth, total growth this year.
That's what we talked
about. Stretch into the 10.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at here, David, is like in this one, you know, 3 to 5%. Then we get to the next one. And the reason, and I appreciate, Brian, that point about that bit of a range, because we're really trying to reach that stretch. Now, I almost want to argue, on the iReady, then if we're trying to achieve 10, are you still talking that 5 to 7, or how do we reword that in a way, or is it just saying, okay, for right now, we're living at 5 to 7, and then annually,
I'll write it underneath.
Okay.
Maybe.
If you go back to the very bottom right there, that was in bold. Darla, to your point, as long as we keep if an aim stays, that needs to become 1B. One, because you're right, that is not a proficiency, that is a decrease in students that were not that were tier 3.
And I don't remember what she called them. I just didn't think they were proficient.
Yep.
That was category. Right. Okay. Right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
But if we're using the word proficiency, then they would have to include all four categories. You either have to rename yourself, or we have to change the language.
Correct.
I mean, if you think about the iReady, the dark green would be your advanced proficient, your green would be your proficient, your red is your partially proficient, and your red. Red, we would have a hard time separating two different categories. We can't be half. So my question also becomes, as I'm now having time to think about this data a little bit more, so this doesn't show the total population of Monroe Public School students. It's only showing those which were in two categories. So my question would become, so that's what I'm asking. So I would have went through my notebook and I would have went through my notes and said, is this data including K through 8 all students?
Yes.
Is it all students? Or is it only students that are in the green? Because this says by the end of each year, the number of students performing in green proficient will keep teach by number 5. So my thought would have been, okay, I would have went back to my notes. I wouldn't have had to ask you this. I would have back to my notes and said, okay, is this just those in the green? Or does this include the ones in the dark red and the red and the yellow? That's my question in this.
So this is, that first one is proficiency only.
So it's only those in the green.
Only those in the green.
So if we're going to accurately put out those rates, shouldn't it be all students in there? Then, because people don't understand.
All students were assessed.
Yeah.
I understand that. But when we look at this chart and we say K through 8, iReady reading, 45% of our students have reached the greens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that of all students? So included in that calculation that you ran these numbers by when you did your math, that included the dark red, the red, and the yellow students.
We did not omit any students.
Okay.
Like every single, the nice thing about these numbers is iReady runs that report.
Okay. See, these are things I would have went through my notes and verified myself, and I wouldn't have had to ask you.
And that's why when we do the student achievement presentations, we literally take, like last, the presentation you had in July, those iReady numbers, if you took and add them up, that's the percentage you're going to see. Okay? And that goes back to the coloring that you saw there. So again, it's just taking and boiling into that one there.
Because I think, Darla, if you look at it, if I'm following the track of you, you're saying, okay, there's 45%, and I'm looking at this, I've never sat in this room, never heard any of this discussion, and I'm looking at it, and I say, oh, there's 45% proficiency, right? I do the math, and I say, well, there's 55% that are not in that proficiency category.
Right.
Yeah. So I can see it quickly and say, yeah, this is getting better, it's getting worse, It's 100% goal.
And as I'm processing and as I'm trying to remember, like, all of those numbers, I'm trying to correlate what I recall seeing with what I'm seeing now. And that's all I'm doing. And typically, all that processing, you'd all never see.
Yeah.
It would all happen
yeah.
at home.
So what you have is 45% proficiency, and I'm ready.
Yep.
Then over here on this next page, you have a 26% in tier three.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That tells you that the rest of the kids are sitting in yellow, which is approaching proficiency. Okay. So that's where we're moving there. I know that we're approaching the bottom of the hour. We've scheduled, when we go through and we start to look at the agenda concept, okay, for work sessions, we know that there's multiple more meetings on the strategic plan. And so what we're, like I said, what we're trying to capture here, we knew that this very first one was going to be a big item.
It should be.
And it should be there. So what our ask is that we allow us to go back, clean up 1A, 1B, okay, and then we'll push this out to you.
Okay.
And then we'll come back in and go back through that one and then continue on down the line. So I know we want to get into tonight, into the conversation around those remaining, the next, all the way through. It was interesting, we were working on it today. January 12th. Okay. The different work sessions come up. So I know we want to take a moment to get there with you. So this has been helpful. Like I said, we're going to push out the 1A and 1B. We work on that. Get that in your hands so you can see that. And then our ask is if you have questions on it, you know, push it out in an email and or just write them down, and we're going to come back together real soon.
Just having looked through it real quick, one of the things that popped out to me is the fact that when you look at those changes that were made and the dramatic changes to the document, when you look at those changes, I can't comprehend a 90% of teachers will get trauma based something by a certain date. So all I can think of in my head is there are student teachers out there that will not be trained, and those students are going to be in those classrooms. So for me, I can't understand why it can't be 100%. That is one thing I think should be 100%. There's training that, you know, 80% of the teachers will do this by 3 or 3.
Yep,
well, that's a whole bunch that aren't.
And that's where, as we go through this document,
yeah.
and that's where, well, like we did tonight, with the percentage.
I'm just putting it out there
yep.
to solve it.
Nope, that's the whole thing. It's like, okay, we want to adjust that.
In your face.
And so that's okay.
That's not our priority.
No. It's
two
popular.
Or three or something.
Yeah. Keep me on priority one.
I just buzzed through it and put a notice out there that I can't comprehend.
Except one C and one B.
Yes, we have a way more. We're going to get okay. But I do agree, and Brian, I'm 100% with you on this, is that this document, we want to get it right, and so taking the time on it is, it won't, understand, so when we publish, it will not look like this.
Right.
It'll look beautiful, it'll
yeah.
look clear. I mean, this is an informative just so we can get to the nitty gritty.
Years in the making.
Mm-hmm. Right,
years.
Nitty gritty. So the next item, okay.
Can I just?
Yes, ma'am.
On our tables, this is just a me being me.
Yes, ma'am.
So the proficiency rates are here and here. These are the assessments, right? So like our columns are mislabeled. That's all.
That's fair.
That's all.
Oh, I see it now at the top.
Like, I would prefer
yeah.
for 23, 24, 24, 25, 25, 26, those individual years to be
yeah.
labeled proficiency rates. And then
I'll
the first
that.
Column be
yeah.
like assessments or whatever you want
yeah.
to call those.
Yes.
And then from the 23 to 24 change, that column with the color-coded percentages,
yeah.
the 24 to 25 change with the color-coded percentages, I think that you need to spell that out, that is the percentage change in proficiency rates or something
yeah.
along those lines, so people can look at that and in 1 second know exactly what they're seeing.
Yeah.
And then, just as a side note, that bottom is going to need to change, too.
Oh yeah, no, that's an extremely rough.
Yeah.
So David's work will not be going on the website. Like Hanover will sit polish this.
So, all right, we have a few more minutes. Jamie, Tom, and I met this morning and looked at currently in September, October, November, and then even getting it December and into January. Board work sessions, board meetings coming up. The request of the different topics and getting them in there. And so we think, okay, we've captured them all. Know that, and we're going to go through this with all of you here in a moment. There will be, if there's not, I'll be shocked, but there will be something that pops that we didn't see coming, okay, that we'll need to walk into a work session with. But we think that we captured because as you see on here in the very first page, there's some things that just they happen all the time. Their annual events are happen 3 times or 4 times a year, okay? And so those are the ones that we, especially like, for example, we're linking the student achievement, discipline, the PBIS one together because they relate to each other. That's on Monday night. Lots of time for questions and drilling onto it, and that's the only item for like that night because it's a big, big lift.
Did I just hear you say student data will be on Monday night?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we're going to get to that right here in a second.
That just made me happy.
Yep.
Not that it's not about me being happy, but it'd be nice to find that time.
Nope.
We never have time.
We strategically
I appreciate
tried
that.
To place things appropriately. When we were meeting on this day, our board, really, when we look at it, work sessions where we do a lot, where we do everything. The board meetings, you know, like tonight's board meeting, I'm going to jinx myself. The board meeting doesn't have a whole lot on it, okay? And there are some nights that it will, but typically our board meetings are going, we do the business and we're done. We're going to do a lot of work in here. And so the request has been that, our October 28th board meeting, we don't have it, but we'll still have a work session. And you'll see why, because there's a lot of stuff there. When we tap into November, that second meeting in November is that's a Thanksgiving week right there that we have. And so we don't have one scheduled right now, but if we needed a work session, we can put it in there. This is your document to have. Down below, though, is a reoccurring topic. So these are things that happen, and we wanted you to be aware that we have to shove in there. So when you see student achievement, when you see safety, that's annual school choice. Those are things that we always that have to pop in no matter what's kind of.
So I know things have changed in the last year or two, but board meetings can also have discussion, just the same as a work session is.
Yep.
So it's not like you couldn't have any of these discussions happen also at a board
yep.
meeting because there is discussion only items on there
yep.
rather than just have everything in a work session because I see now
yep.
we have one meeting in our board meeting in October, one board meeting in November, and one board meeting in December.
Yep.
So board meetings have been delayed.
But we still have three work sessions.
But that's
month.
Not the point.
But you only
really
have one board meeting.
I understand that. But this board voted that calendar to have those board meetings as they were written on that calendar.
Yep.
So to say, we're going to hold work sessions but not hold board meetings,
yep.
but board meetings, all this can be done in a board meeting as well.
Yep. And it can. So, for example,
yeah.
you'll see in
they
there.
Yeah.
Well, and all any of it could
well,
be. Unless it's closed session.
If we're making decisions on changing the calendar, I feel like that's something that the full board should
so,
make a decision on.
So
I don't feel like that's something that should happen.
No.
Yeah.
Between,
so
they just got boom, boom, boom.
Right. I mean, I think we should take a board vote on it.
And we
already
passed.
Did vote on it.
No,
the board
passed.
Voted on it.
On the calendar,
calendar
right. But I'm saying,
yeah.
if we decide we want to cancel a meeting, I think the board should have to take a vote on canceling the meeting.
So
that's all.
There's legality or reasons
I understand that.
For canceling them.
No.
I understand.
There's, you.
I don't mean to say
you
legality
have to,
is
something. No,
legal.
You have to have. You have to have one board meeting. That is
okay.
one
yeah.
only requirement.
But we set the board.
You did.
Agenda.
So in the past, yes, you took a vote.
Yes.
And but your board policy does allow for your board president to cancel a board meeting. Okay. Now, per your point, Arborwood, okay? Renaming of Arborwood. That would be done in the board room, in the board meeting, because that one right there, there's a lot that goes on behind that one, so a lot of conversation.
Garland, a lot that goes around in all of them.
They all do, but I'm going to ask this. There's only so much, if you think about it, some of us in this room have been going since 6 o'clock this morning. Okay? Yeah. And what's going to happen is we're going to finish tonight, okay? And then if we would have had last night, this is why we're trying to say, do this stuff in a work session. Because if we add to a board agenda and you go from Monday night, Tuesday night, and you run your staff deep, our productivity level in the future will continue to go down.
If you look at a board meeting, the administrative staff is not required to be there. It's beneficial to have them there, but they're not required to be there.
But why would you not?
I didn't say I didn't want them there. You said they're going to be too tired to be in a meeting.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying our productivity level, because of the length of the day, we have to generate everything. Where I'm going, though, is on our work sessions, when we went through this today, all the stuff that people have been asking for is here, scheduled into work sessions. The only one that wasn't is the renaming of Arborwood, because that will be done, because it'll be on the next agenda. You guys will have the names, and then you'll have the election of, do you want to decide that night, or do you want to move to another night, you know? So how are we going to do it? It'll be done in there.
So why was the second October board meeting axed? There's only one board meeting in October. Why did we decide to do that?
So my administrative assistant will be coming back from her. She has an opportunity to be out of here. And so
where are you going?
She is the one that
I will be out of the country celebrating a 20th anniversary.
Okay.
We will be.
You can't get upset about this. She's allowed to have a vacation, and
I'm not
she's
suggesting.
Gone.
Who was the person that covered for Jamie before?
But she is the publication of all the documents. So
actually,
Jamie is the most
somebody can
publishing documents to you guys on time on Friday.
If I can say,
yes.
People can cover the meetings for me as far as the preparation goes. Even on past vacations, I've worked on those because I'll be out of the country. Everything has to be prepped before I leave.
So again, you can.
I just was looking. I wanted to hear the explanation.
Yeah, that's all.
That's all I'm asking.
So, something that, just from my perspective, is that, yes, we can have discussions and things like that at board meetings, and we should before votes on things that we're voting on, especially. However, I think, me personally, we should prioritize the things that we're voting on for board meetings and then use our work sessions for where we're learning about things,
mm-hmm.
where we need to ask subject matter experts about content that, like when we're going to be learning about the superintendent evaluation tool, or when we had guests come in and teach us all about student data for the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that is optimal for a work session because that is where not only are the subject matter experts there, but it allows us opportunity to ask the questions and really, like, dig in where we need to. We're at a board meeting. Yes, we could do those things, but I think that board meetings, from my perspective, we should be prioritizing the things that we've already discussed. Yes, thank you, Tom. Yes.
And the other thing, just to add to that, there's more time constraints in the board meeting because you're going to have the consent agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have whatever, you know, whether it's hires, all those things that we are required to do, the superintendent comments, the public commentary. So the work sessions allow us more open free time
mm-hmm.
for the discussion.
So the public might be able to shine some spotlight on what we're doing in here. I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know. Is this live stream?
Just record it.
So it's just recorded. We want to consider some form of live streaming for this.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I think this conversation is still important for some other people to possibly hear. So they feel like they're hearing that.
But in the board meeting still, you know, if we're going to vote on something,
mm-hmm.
obviously we have the chance for discussion, you know, after we second it. So you can make, I guess, more refined point of whether you are supporting or objecting to something after we've had this lengthy discussion.
I'm just saying that there might be some people who care about
if
we are doing most of our discussion possibly in here,
so
at least here. And I'm not saying there's thousands of people in Monroe that want to get in on this work session, but are there people that we might be precluding? And I know we tell them, hey, we have a work session, come to the work session, but that may not be convenient for them to come to the work session, but if we were to live stream it, secondary recording.
That is definitely something that we can all discuss.
I think that's a discussion.
So back to your board meetings, that will be brought in the next meeting in regards to the October-November meetings. What I would ask you to do is to look at the upcoming work session dates and topics. So we laid out all the stuff and that's been asked to do about four. So you'll look at like a Monday night, like October 13th, for example. That night is the old policy, so that's by itself because there's going to be a lot of conversation that night, a lot to do. And so we try to space, and we were talking with Tom, on a Tuesday night, it's a hard one right there. The student presentation, that one we're going to make some adjustments to that and on that Tuesday one there. That's why I said these are tentative, but these are all the topics that people have asked for. You'll see, I got the idea.
You do, and the only thing I would just because I know this is right off the top, 88 declines.
Yeah, that one. So you want that in a work session?
I would like to have a work session too, because you're going to send it to us in board briefs, whatever.
Yeah,
I might want to have a 15-20 minute conversation about it. Okay. Where would that fit?
Yep.
And it doesn't happen before January 12th, so it doesn't happen before January 12th.
No.
Well, we have a lot of openings here. We have like one thing on the board. So I think that we can handle us for a few things on the board.
Hold on, what are you saying? We have one thing on the board
tonight.
One thing for me.
Right. We're fortunate tonight we have one thing. There's other nights where all of a sudden a board meeting can go from what we thought, 20 minutes, and all of a sudden it's an hour and a half.
If we only have one thing on at that board meeting, that would be a possibility to add something on, because I think we can handle two or three things on a board meeting.
So
we used to have a whole list of things.
Yeah, but that was 3 years ago, too.
So would it make sense to reconvene the work session after, if we have a board meeting?
Well, no. We never got involved. The work session stuff is always the work session stuff. What I'm cautious of, and unless you're willing to not judge Tom and I, how did you determine that should be in a work session rather than, but you put it in the board meeting?
I need not judge you.
So why did you pick that topic and put it in the board meeting as opposed to the work session?
No, that's not what I was suggesting. I just said if you're looking for time elements, if there's not a lot on a board meeting, that may leave an opening to add something on.
But that was a true statement. Right. There's a suggestion. Question. I think Andy's question is how do they understand of the topics that could be both a work session or a board meeting for discussion? How do they know which to preference for a work session?
I didn't even mention that.
Something ends at 7:30. Do we want to come back for another half an hour, a reasonable period of time?
So we have to provide a public notice that it changed.
Right.
So
we could be in a board meeting. That's my whole point. If the board meeting starts at 7, and it's going to be done at 7:30, we could add a discussionary item onto the board meeting, and so it goes.
But that's not a good practice.
Yeah, and
then,
we don't want to be voting on something we're just learning about either.
It wouldn't be a vote. You can have discussion only
either. But that's not a good practice.
They used to do that all the time.
Right, we stopped that practice. You should be approving your agenda and what's going to be in the board meeting. I'm back to this, and this is really easy.
And if the public wanted to hear about it, and we're now jumping it on the agenda, then they feel like...
My personal opinion is the board meeting should be focused on things we're voting on. And work sessions, general discussion.
If we've got topics that we didn't have, you've got to tell us. And we brought, if you have something else, I appreciate the 88, that will be added. And we try to also look at some of these items if we can get in there sooner. Some of them we staged out when we knew we could get to it. So, for example, buying the same fund conversation, know, we don't, cause we know that like matters to it. That's why we put it where we did, because we know that there's going to be, you know, a vote there.
So just for the sake of, if you need a quorum for the November 24th, I will be on the van trip.
You'll be in Orlando.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, I'll be somewhere on the way to Orlando in a box truck, delivering instruments and luggage.
That's somewhat less appealing than where you thought.
Yeah. Right. 3 days
so,
of travel. So
please.
Yeah,
right.
On that note, I think to add to this is the discussion on some reimbursement for brand rentals.
Yes.
That's on there.
That's actually
so if we
October 14th.
October 14th, we actually had student activities and activity transportation.
Nice.
Because it wasn't just, we had to look at totality
of
our district, so we're going to lay out every single item from the elementary through the high school, capture it all so you can see the whole video right there. And so we just needed a moment so we can generate that information. So that's that October 14th. Sorry. So please review if there's something that was missed or that you see going, hey, I need to see that, or that's how it comes about. Please let us know. And that's all I have to say, too.
Public commentary? Yeah, Carrie, do we have any public commentary?
We are good.
Okay. Hearing none, can I get a motion to adjourn?
It's nice in there.
Support.
Show of hands. Okay, that concludes our agenda.
Jamie, this was a particularly awesome.
No public
I will pass that along.